quorum. The Rules Committee is called to order. We've got, I think, three orders of business. First, the Senate IT Working Group recommendations. Got some members and staff that have spent months developing this report to us on their recommendations for some IT upgrades here in the Senate. So, Senator Saxog, welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. With me today is Jim Greenwald, of course, who's the head of Senate SIS, and Barb Jacobs, who's Senator Marty's CA, and has done an awful lot of work on constituent relationship management. So we wanted to have her up here in case there was any questions. I think you may or may not remember that last May, when we were towards the end of the session, we passed the state government finance bill, and that bill had an appropriation in it for IT. Now, you may not remember it because it only took four minutes to pass it, for that reason, you may not remember it. But today we're presenting the Rules Committee, the recommendations for the Senate IT Working Group. This group was formed in August to look into how we could best upgrade our equipment, daily functions, and policies in the IT department and amongst our staff. You have a copy of the recommendations in front of you. I'd like to take a moment, certainly, to thank all the members of the working group listed on the front page for their commitment, their diligence to this project. It was a nonpartisan effort, and I think that most of us would agree that this institution needs a little work when it comes to technology, and that the work they did, I believe, is excellent. So I'm going to go over these recommendations and would hope that they would be accepted. Mr. Greenwald will go over the spreadsheet that we're considering, and then we'd stand for questions. The Senate IT Working Group recommendations, I think from the front page, two things are key. One, we've broken it down in two areas, internal operations and policies, A, and B, outside purchases. And then I think another key piece that we have to recognize and take all this in context with is I think we all believe that with the Capitol renovation and the new Senate office building, that it's important that this all be compatible with our new situation. So when we go to A, and the first recommendation under governance structure, the recommendation is a primarily staff-driven Senate IT advisory group. You note that we're using advisory instead of governance. Needs to continue to make sure that the needs of member staff and SIS can be discussed, and any further recommendations can be made to the Rules Committee. We've kind of further outlined, but I think that's the guts of that particular recommendation. The second paragraph, a new advisory working group should be created that consists of, and we have, I think we've covered the waterfront pretty well right there. And then about halfway through that paragraph, we have a sentence which says the group would report to the Rules Committee once a year to update them on the status of IT issues. The group could meet up to quarterly or at the call of the chair for specific circumstances. So I think what we're trying to get to right there is the idea that somebody's going to be looking at new ideas and possible ways of more efficiently running the Senate in terms of IT from an outside and from a staff-driven perspective. Any questions on one? Okay, two. Training and education for members and staff. The recommendation is that SIS and HR would establish a protocol to inform members and staff about training opportunities. The full working group also strongly recommends a mandatory training plan for new hires and promoted employees. That only made sense to us. Any comment on that? Okay. Number three, customer service, user support. Policies need to be implemented that enable SIS staff to pursue continuing education opportunities. The Senate needs to continue to allocate money in the budget we've had $10,000 a year for 10 years now. I haven't always used it, but the money is there, and it needs to be used efficiently. The full working group also recommends a thorough review of the help desk software to make changes where appropriate and pursue the opportunity to create a remote help desk to assess staff more efficiently. Question number four, hearing notice of public information posting. The recommendation, training for committee administrators and committee legislative assistants need to be increased to ensure consistency, to standardize protocols among committee notices and minutes, and to properly post documents with the specific committee jurisdiction. Strongly recommend that the Senate establish a policy that requires minutes to be posted online in a timely manner. Additionally, it was recommended that the Senate establish a protocol to post information online beyond the scope of official committee business. Question five, in-house applications. All in-house applications need to be evaluated and upgraded. A Senate IT advisory group or working group thereof needs to prioritize what can be done before session starts and what can be upgraded later. Number six, bill tracking databases. Partisan and nonpartisan staff will work with SIS and the revisor's office to build at least two in-house applications within a common database structure, one aimed at committee staff and one aimed at all staff for general bill tracking and management. A Senate IT advisory group or working group thereof will continue to work with SIS to identify features that need to be in the applications and to make sure the final products meet staff needs. It is possible that more than one variation on the committee applications will be required to meet staff needs. Lastly, some existing application systems, like the finance database, may need some tweaks too. SIS would like to have something available for review for staff sometime in December, right, Jim?
We do.
All right. And the final recommendations is that the separate working group continues to update Senate policies to bring them up to date on the subject of websites, secondary web pages, and new media. No questions. We're going to go on to the outside purchase recommendations. Number one, computers and laptops. The recommendation, the Senate should purchase, not lease, one type of desktop and two options for ultrabooks or laptops due to the cost and cash flow. Laptops / ultrabooks should be performance grade, should have capable battery life, SSD, and increased RAM for longer life. Desktops and nukes can be standard. Bring your own device, BYODs, from this point on. Network access has to be available to access Senate network and Wi-Fi, and Wi-Fi be reliable, allowing for printing from appropriately configured Senate printers and copiers. CLAs should continue to use laptops. Other staff should have options to fit their needs. A survey of staff needs to be done by department through a point person in each department. The potential for touchscreen capability should be examined for the new laptops. Some of you had the opportunity to look at some examples of books and laptops up on the third floor. The Lenovo EliteBook and the HP EliteBook were the top choices of staff member surveys of the demo units. We've noted since everybody tried those out that both these units have been upgraded already. And, of course, that kind of gives us all a hint of what happens with IT and the way things continue to be upgraded. So on to number two, the monitors. All members should be given 22-inch monitors. Council research fiscal analysts should be given 24-inch monitors. 19 or 22-inch monitors should be sufficient for other staff. A survey of staff needs to be done, as we said above, by department through a point person in each area. Special requests for 24-inch monitors should be considered. Question? And three, copiers.
Senator Limmer.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Saxhog, going back to the computers and laptops, I noticed on the second page, second paragraph, you talk about the potential for touch screen capabilities should be examined. I'm finding that most equipment now, almost all, are touch screen. And, you know, we might get it. I would hate to get into a situation where we save a couple dollars, but then we have for who knows how long a system that is not quite up to the standard that quite often we get sucked into. I'd like to have something that is going to stand the test of time a little bit.
Right.
Could you expand on the discussion on touch screens? I don't think the cost is a whole lot more for a touch screen versus something that's less.
Mr. Chair, Senator Limmer, we had a kind of a long, involved discussion on this, and I think the majority, well, I think everybody generally agreed with what you just had to say. And consequently, that's why we did put that last sentence in there. And I think Mr. Greenwald would agree with me that we're going to do everything we can to make that available. But Jim, did you want to have something?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, we are looking into that. The difference in price on a laptop is about $300, so $800 to maybe $1,100 would be the difference. And also it would require, that's on the bid that we got from Lenovo and from Hewlett-Packard. It would require, we wouldn't be able to utilize it initially because we're using Windows 7, and you need at least Windows 8 in order to use the touch screen feature. We're not going to Windows 8 at this time because it's really not stable enough from an enterprise standpoint. So we will be getting pricing on the laptops, and we have seen pricing for both, and that I believe should be coming in. I think I actually received one of them about an hour and a half ago, so I haven't had a chance to look at it yet to see exactly where that's at. And once we review that, go over with leadership, then we'll set a direction and begin the acquisition.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Greenwald, I just bought a more basic laptop. And we had a choice of two different ones, one same brand, but one had touchscreen, one did not. And I think it was either $20 or $30 difference. It wasn't huge, so maybe for the higher-end ones, it's farther apart now, but I've got to believe those will be closer because it was either $20 or $30 difference, and the only difference was the touch on the screen.
Okay, I can't speak for what you had. I can only speak for what the quotes that came in from the two vendors were on, as they requested on the laptops that we do have performance level laptops. So that was the price. I think the initial phase was like 800 and some, and the other one was about 1100. But we're going to look very closely at that and see what the
Mr. Chair, might be that they're trying to sell it to the government so they mark it up a little bit.
Yeah. That wouldn't happen.
No. You think? No. Nobody would do that.
Competitive bidding.
How cynical.
And Mr. Chair, we also, on the desktops, as we talk about the funds and the prices later, we have utilized the minute pricing for the desktops and the minute specifications and whatnot also for the laptops. Those prices are not due out until the 16th of December, but we are trying to get that pricing prior to the release date.
Well, they don't get paid.
Senator Sachs, I'll continue.
Okay. Item number three, the copiers. Any new copiers should be leased until the capital restoration and the new Senate office building are complete. Any new leased copiers need to be networked for remote access. The two copiers in the Capitol at 303 and 325 hallways need to be replaced due to inability to service these machines. Copiers in the Senate chamber should be replaced to fit with the capital restoration. The Senate ID advisory group or working group, therefore, should consider the copier needs as the layout of the Capitol restoration new Senate office building is finalized. The monthly service contract should be maintained, continued to maintain stability and cost. Question.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fischbach.
I guess just generally, Senator Sacksog, the information about the new Senate office building comes up because we're redoing all of this in the midst of this new building. We don't know. I mean, I've been on those committees, and there's not, I guess, a whole lot of solid decisions, and there's not a whole lot of solid decisions on what's happening in the Capitol yet, or at least that I've been made aware of. So I guess to do all this at the same time trying to build a whole new building and figure out, and my understanding is they were going to hire a consultant over there, an IT consultant. I'm just, it seems like there's a lot, it's still lots of questions as we're trying to do this. There's still lots of questions on the building.
Senator, I'm going to ask Mr. Greenwald to respond.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Fischbach, the items that we're talking about here, with the exception of copiers and printers, are pretty much will be are neutral to where we're located. In other words, if you have a computer in this office or in another office, is moot. The back office items are also, those will be located primarily, as this is occurring, in the State Office Building Data Center. The areas that do have an effect are the copiers and the printers, and as you'll note in the recommendations, those are to be reviewed after we look and see what the design documents are. As you said, you've gone to the meetings. We don't have design documents yet. It's just working towards schematics. So we are not going to be making any decisions on printers and how we will take those printers and copiers and moving them around until we've seen those. The only two that we have made the decision are those two up on the third floor, south wing and north wings, which have been requested to be replaced as soon as possible. Those are the only two that we've given specific quotes for at this time. But the other printers, we are waiting until we can see what the design drawings are. In other words, where they actually specify spaces.
And Mr. Chair, I don't think we have an idea of how many we would need. We don't know this. So, like I said, I think there's some concerns about going through and doing all kinds of IT changes on top of this whole renovating. I mean, and I don't disagree that there's some serious issues that we could address with the IT changes, but to kind of pile on all of that all at once between the Capitol, the new building, because how do we know things are going to be? And forgive me, I'm not on the committee. I'm not an IT expert, but compatibility issues. What do we need in the new building to support what we have? What do we need in the Capitol to support what we're picking out? I don't necessarily expect a response to that, but I guess I'm just expressing my concern that we're trying to do a whole lot of things, and we don't know, we don't have answers for any of them at this point, and we're trying to do things when we don't have plans for other things.
Senator Fischbach, if this will alleviate any of your concerns, our intent today is to accept the recommendations. We're not going to actually implement anything specifically that's in the report. It's recommendations from the group to the administrative body of the Senate, which is the Rules Committee. So nobody should think that we're going to run off and purchase everything that they're suggesting. The intent is that the committee just receive their report.
Oh, so, Mr. Chair, the spreadsheet that's here that's about 627,000 is just informational?
We are not going to – we will adopt a spreadsheet, but still all the purchases will be subject to the approval – the signature of myself and Senator Hand, which has been the practice in the Senate. So we will only make purchases as we think it's efficient.
But, Mr.
forward.
Chair, we're going to approve up to, let's say, up to $627,000 for this.
Correct.
Okay.
Subject to future purchase orders that Senator Hand and I would sign off on, which has been the past practice of the Rules Committee. So we're not going to run off and buy all that, right? And it might take,
but Mr. Chair,
it might take several years to make those purchases.
But Mr. Chair, you would be able to if you wanted to. Under what I'm understanding the scenario, you're saying that we would approve up to $627,000. You could do it if you followed the process you're talking about with the approval of the majority leader and the minority leader. You could do it tomorrow,
Senator
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fischbach, we could have done it without bringing a spreadsheet to this committee, but I really thought everybody should see kind of the direction that we're hoping to go in.
And, Mr. Chair, I appreciate that. You could do it without anybody's approval is what you're saying.
Well, Senator Hand and I could.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Saxog.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Rules Committee.
It's a thrill, Mr. Chair. Number four is the printers. Printers should be replaced throughout the Senate as needed with consideration for the Capitol restoration and the new Senate office building. We see a lot of that, and of course it was on the front page too. So the Senate IT Advisory Group, or working group thereof, should consider the printer needs as the layout of the Capitol restoration and new Senate office building is finalized. Two envelope printers should be purchased and dedicated to each caucus, and if the need arises, examine the possibility of purchasing more. Number five, email software. An RFP should be let to get an assessment of products for a new email platform to make sure the needs of the Senate are met. A second RFP may be necessary to ensure the migration to the new platform, which also meets the needs of the Senate. Any new email platform has to be compatible with any new software applications approved by the Rules Committee. Number six, Constituent Relationship Management, CRM, database. Recommendation, because of the complexity of our needs, the wide availability of third-party solutions that would address most of our issues in one place and to avoid having to purchase additional hardware or software to accommodate a new data program, the database work group recommends that the Senate acquire a fully hosted, off-the-shelf Constituent Relationship Management database. The group researched what other legislatures use and invited five software vendors to provide a demo of their product. The group decided after further investigation that Internet Quorum IQ should be purchased. The implementation of the software should take 1 to 2 months.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hammond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Saxog and Mr. Greenwald, thank you, by the way, for your work and the rest of the committee. I know there were members on both sides of the aisle and staff and so forth, and really appreciate the work that you all did to bring these recommendations. On this particular point, and I am not by any means a high-tech guy, but in the course of the conversations I've had, one of the things I wanted to clarify is in this constituent relationship management database, whether or not this would facilitate the ability to do personalized newsletters from members rather than just, dear friend, dear constituent. I guess that's HTML compatible in the jargon of the techies. And just wanted to confirm that that is the case.
Mr. Chair, Senator, I believe it is. I would like to defer to Barb. She has done all the negotiations and discussions with the vendor, and I'll pass that on to her.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Jacobs is up here for this very recommendation.
Yes, Senator Wood.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Chair. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Saxog, the term that was used is fully hosted in the recommendation description. Could you tell me what fully hosted means? I don't know what that means.
Mr. Chair, Senator Limmer, we're going to refer that to Ms. Jacobs.
That means it's, Senator, that means that it's being hosted by the company that we're purchasing the product from, as opposed to hosting it on our own servers. If we were to host it on our own servers, there's a possibility that we'd need more servers, more server space, et cetera. So this alleviates that issue.
Mr. Chair, is there a security issue if we go forward with a fully hosted, is it a vendor? Is that the right appropriate term? Would they have the satisfactory security elements to it that we would feel confident?
That's a good question, Senator. 75% of Congress uses this product, so I think that we should feel comfortable knowing that it's secure. I can get additional information from you or for you if you'd like on the security, but yes.
Mr. Chair, the reason I bring it up is we've had a number of security issues over recent years, not necessarily with the work of the Senate, but files, administrative services that have information on constituents. And usually the problem isn't with the hardware, it's with who maintains and manages the hardware and the data that that hardware would have with it. And so I think we should continue to strive for as best security as we can, because somehow this, and it goes across the board partisan-wise, one administration to another, we just can't seem to, it's kind of like holding water in your hand. Data continues to leak, and it should be a priority of ours to make sure that we do the very best we can in handling information.
Great. Number seven, servers. Recommendation: the servers needed to be upgraded. The servers need to be upgraded to increase the speed of the day-to-day functions of the Senate. I think we're all aware of that. We'd all agree. And network storage needs to be increased to make sure archiving capabilities are sufficient for posted documents online. Remote access capacity needs to be increased to meet the needs of senators and staff when not in the Capitol complex. Final recommendation, number eight, Wi-Fi expansion and phone upgrades. The joint commissions responsible for Wi-Fi and phone upgrades, which include not only the Senate but the House and the executive branch also, should make sure that the needs of the Senate are covered in the Capitol restoration and the new Senate office building. Availability and stability of Wi-Fi in the Capitol complex, especially hearing rooms, needs to be increased, and access needs to be dedicated to members and staff separate from the public. Any new phone system implemented needs to be compatible and interface with computer software for database email operations. I think the big piece there, of course, is that it's very important that that we make sure that members and staff have all that they need and needs for Wi-Fi, and that it's separated from the public. Any questions on these recommendations? If not, Mr. Chair, I would ask that the Rules Committee accept our report in its entirety.
Senator Hatt.
Thank you. And Senator Saxhog, I'm not sure if I'm looking at the spreadsheet and I'm looking at the recommendations, and there is something that isn't jumping out at me, and I want to clarify. I've had some conversation with people in our communications staff who have talked about the need for some computers that would be perhaps unique to their applications that might require different software, or maybe even non-PC type machines. And in other words, some unique applications that would be helpful to the communication area or the media area that others might not have any use for. Is that ability to accommodate that communication work, is that included in these recommendations? And if so, where would that be?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, I think and these types of questions came up over and over in our working group. And I think it's important to note that if there are specific needs that appear and that don't happen to be in here or don't happen to be in the spreadsheet, the SIS is always looking and would always entertain the possibility of those types of needs. And of course, it has to come back to the Rules Committee. But
oh, no, it doesn't.
You know, that's correct.
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't it?
No.
Just needs to be. I don't want to get into that.
Well, and Mr. Chair, Senator Saxhog, I appreciate that, and I'm not trying to suggest that there should not be any approval of these things in the normal process, that all the stuff would be approved. I certainly expect that. But I know, for example, that we have members or people on our staff that are using their own computers and their own software right now to do the job that they're doing. It doesn't seem to me that should be the standard. From the discussion that I was made familiar with, that there was some concern raised about software maintenance, and that perhaps if somebody were to use, say, an Apple-type computer, that would not be supported by the SIS, and so therefore there would be a need to buy some kind of extra support contract to facilitate that. And my question is the capacity for us to accommodate those needs in the communication media department included in these recommendations, or are we just to suggest that people need to bring in their own stuff and do this all on their own to accommodate their job?
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, I'm going to refer to Mr. Greenwald today.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, the practice in the past has been, and this has occurred a number of times over the years, that, and I would say your communications office and both caucuses are probably the primary users of this. If there has been special needs, they have made requests to our office. Our office then submits them to leadership. Leadership then makes the approval with the joint approval of the chairman of the Rules Committee and yourself, the other member. And we have done this a number of times over the last 10 years if there are special needs. Obviously, our standard systems don't meet everyone's needs. Might be fiscal analysts, maybe communication staff. So we just request that those special needs be presented, and then those needs are approved through the normal channels.
Senator Hatt.
And Mr. Chairman and Mr. Greenwald, thank you. I guess one of the questions I would have is, given that those things might have a different cost than the standard laptops and workstations that are being talked about, is there a budgetary limitation on that?
There has not been that. A budgetary limitation may be put on, again, by the approvers. Obviously, during the last several years, there was it was more difficult to get approval on that than maybe today with our budget in a different situation.
So, Mr. Chair and Mr. Greenwald, I'm going to take from your answer that if our communication staff were looking for Apple-type computers with some different kinds of software to facilitate the communication and media things that they are doing, that that will be accommodated in this proposal. Can I conclude that? Subject to the same kind of approval that you're talking about with any purchase.
I'm not sure how it would fit into this proposal. It would fit into our standard way of doing business with the requests coming to our office and approvals being made.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, the reason I'm saying it would fit in this proposal because we're talking about kind of a wholesale replacement or phasing out of existing workstations and computers, and to me this would certainly be a part of that effort, I would imagine. And all I'm getting at is if we have unique needs in that department, I assume the majority probably does too, are those going to be facilitated in this so that we don't have to worry about how we're going to accomplish that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, I think that was answered pretty succinctly. I believe from everything I've heard that your question, yes, we will take care of those particular needs.
Thank you.
If there are no other questions, Mr. Chair, I would ask Mr. Greenwald to go over the spreadsheet.
Let's work on the report first, I think.
Okay.
We don't need a motion on this. I think we just need a reference in the committee minutes that the Rules Committee received the report and thanked the IT Working Group for its work, and we'll take your recommendations under advisement. The spreadsheet.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The spreadsheet, Senate Technology Proposal for 2013, basically identifies the various parts and pieces of the recommendation Senator Saxhog just went through. It gets a little bit more detail. Please note that the cost estimates are primarily those cost estimates. For instance, when we start talking about workstations and monitors, this is based on a current inventory that we have now. The recommendation suggests that we have a survey as to what type of equipment most people want. It may vary a little bit. There may be more laptops. There might be more desktops. We're not sure until we do the survey. So that's why the current figures on that are based on an existing inventory, which may change as we survey users as to what their needs are. The first three items are requesting approval for an upgrade of desktops, laptops, and monitors in accordance with the recommendation which we just went through, which is B1. And you can see what those figures are. Approximately, what does that total out to be, $275,000 or something like that. Our goal is to be able to get those ordered, acquired, imaged, and out before the 2014 session. The copiers and printers, again, we have looked at only the two particular printers that we've talked about in the third floor. That is a quoted price from the vendor of $18,995 for those two units. That is on a lease program, which was in the recommendation. The lease is on a four-year lease, so this is the cost of that four-year lease program. So it won't be a cash up front. It'll be a lease purchase as recommended. The chamber printers, about $8,000. That is an estimate. The reason being is that we are still working with the architect and some design people, the Secretary of the Senate, as to how that may change in the front of the chambers. And so we haven't really identified specifically what that's going to be or where they're going to be located. We've made some adjustments to the layout of the chamber. I anticipate that there will be more as we work with the architects, and once that is done, we will then come up with a final recommendation on what that equipment will be and final purchase price for it. BYOD, that is bring your own device. That's the type of concept where you bring in your own tablets, smartphones, and whatnot. It will allow you, along with another item down here, the Wi-Fi upgrade, to ensure that members and staff have adequate access to the Wi-Fi throughout the state office building and the Capitol building. It will also allow the users to be able to access their files, for instance, that would be your My Documents or H directories, which are on the network, so you could access those from possibly your phone or your tablet, and also be able to print to associated printers here in the Capitol building. So if you were sitting in this room and wanted to print something in your office for your staff to get, you could sit here on your laptop or smartphone and print to that location. We're doing that now on our test equipment in SIS. The only thing that I haven't been able to do yet, and we're going to work on that this week, is possibly sit at home and print to a printer here from home. So you may be sitting at your home office and need to have something printed that's on your tablet for your staff here and be able to do that. So that is, it appears to be working. We've gone through all of the tests, and so far there hasn't been a problem with that. The printers, 60, that is the area that we talked about. We don't really know what or where. That's a sort of a placeholder in there. We have about 60 printers now. I would hope that we wouldn't have the same quantity of printers as we go through the renovation and remodeling. We won't know that until we get design documents and details on that. So I don't see us doing anything on that until well after beginning or after session. We will also have to take into account what the swing space will be during the programming, the phasing of the construction. So if we have to consolidate or expand into other spaces, that will have a bearing on how many pieces of equipment we have and what we will or will not get new. The envelope printers we have listed there, that is for a single unit that does about $14,000 an hour. I think we can probably get some that would do less than that, but we will further investigate whether there's a something that's less than $12,000 an hour for doing envelopes. This is a dedicated envelope printer, so that's all that it does. You can't do anything except print envelopes on that, and that was, I believe, request number B4.
And Mr. Coleman.
And then the next four items are dealing with the back office. This is the upgrades to all of the firmware and software versions that we have, and the servers and switches and everything that sort of sits in the back and makes the system work. It also includes upgrades to our storage device up to, I believe, it's 24 terabytes. This we hope will be able to last for the next 3 years. There's a great deal more information coming on, especially with the use of websites, high video, photos, the types of information that requires a great deal of storage. And it also includes a new backup system that allows us to go from disk to disk and have a regular backup system much more efficiently than what we currently have. And then the email assessment, we will put out an RFP requesting someone to come in and do a study on our email system and what the options are and where we should go. That would probably require after that an additional one that would deal with the implementation of the system that we would decide on once we had the first study done. As I mentioned, the Wi-Fi is being upgraded. We are expecting a statement of work. I was hoping that would be in by this morning, but it should be in within the next day or so from the vendor. That is a system which is being put together by the Senate, the House, and all the commissions, revisor statutes, LCC. That is a joint system, and that system is being built now to be able to support the state office building for the House, this building, and also the new legislative office building. So all the back office will be generated and put together for that. The price... the price that we have here is simply for the software that will be required split between the three entities, because the primary expense will be borne by the construction budget. So the hardware and the cabling and the access points are all a part of the new construction documents, and they're included in that. So we will not be paying directly for that. But we will have that, we hope, in place so that it's ready for the 2014 session in the building. And then it will be integrated as the building is remodeled.
Mr. Greenwald, Senator Stock.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Greenwald, does that consolidate the number of networks that we have within the in the building then?
I'm not sure what you mean. You mean that allow the access to the wireless, like the public Wi-Fi, Senate Wi-Fi?
It seems like right now one of the things in the current building is that we have multiple networks, and the interfacing between these networks is very difficult. So how does that correlate with the with the new computer systems that we're going to get?
Well, the networks, there's a Senate network, there's a House network, revisers of statutes, those are all separate networks and would continue to be separate networks. We are working on, for instance, how to make them work together will be dependent on, for instance, the email system that we come up with, making sure that it works with the House, because the House independently takes care of theirs. The Wi-Fi will not have an effect on that, other than you will have a specific Wi-Fi for the Senate that you can log into, which makes certain that you have access to it, and then you have the appropriate bandwidth, and that can't be stolen, so to speak, by all the public that are coming. The public will remain on a separate Wi-Fi network, which will be scalable according to them, whereas the member and staff network will be set so that there is a guaranteed access and bandwidth for each one of them.
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if Senator Stump and I have the same concern, and whether he was, I don't know the right terminology, whether it's different servers or what, because I know when we bring a laptop from our office to committee room to the chamber, you're supposed to shut it down and reopen it up, otherwise it gums up the email program and everything else. I'm not sure is that the concern you had? If so, is there a way we could have fewer servers or whatever it is that we're supposed to log off of, because it confuses it?
I believe what you're talking about, Senator Marty, Mr. Chairman, is if you have a laptop on your desk and it's plugged into the network, hardwired to the network versus the wireless, if you take that off and do some connection to the wireless, you can lose some things. The fact that we will be increasing the capability 100% across all three legislative office buildings, if you had your computer, your tablet, your phone on the wireless network, it will be built so that you can roam between all three buildings, including the tunnels, so that you would not lose that connection as you're moving from location to location.
Okay.
That we've made certain that we will include. So it will include the tunnels between the state office building, this building, the new legislative office building, and on all spaces in the new legislative office building. On the email, Senator Saxall reminded me the one thing on our schedule for the email, we currently are under contract for the email until June of 2015. So that's sort of the time frame that we're working in to work all of that out so that we've got something taken care of by that time. I'm going to skip for a second the constituent relations management and just talk about a couple of items under IT governance. And there's only really a couple of areas that have any financial implications. One is training for SIS staff. We haven't had any training for a number of years, so we're requesting several classes for that. Also, the new help desk application, we're looking into replacing that. That might be around the $4,500. Again, that's an ongoing, that's on an annual cost. And then website hosting, there's a very small amount that there is some website hosting outside of the Senate, which is being requested. And so those are for $50 or $100 or $200 fees to host sites outside of the Senate. On the constituent, maybe I'll ask if there's any other questions on that before we give Barb her chance to talk about what's on the constituent relations program.
Ms. Jacobs, go ahead.
Barb.
The numbers here represent, let's see, the acquisition, hosted, and lease, the 99,710 here represents the annual lease. So as Senator Limmer brought up earlier, since we are hiring them to host this for us, there will be an annual cost, but this is the first year cost. The design, 17,387 represents working with the company to properly identify our needs and to tailor certain pieces of the product to us. For instance, creating a template for our email newsletters or those types of things. And then I think the most important line item is the implementation and training. Of course, we want to make sure that everybody knows how to use it. It's only as good as it's being used. I'm glad to answer any questions.
Questions, members? Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just a couple of questions. One, on this CRM system specifically, is there a compatibility function with the email that we're going to be going to, or is that part of the system?
Mr. Chair, Senator, that's a good question. It is compatible with what we currently have, and it's compatible with some of the options we had looked into. Microsoft Outlook, it would work with Gmail if we wanted it to as well.
Okay. And, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Hand.
And maybe this is a more generally question for Mr. Greenwald, but on all these things that we're talking about, the purchasing, are we going to use a competitive bid process, or are we buying just off of the MinTech? And I hope that's a question that makes sense, but is there a competitive process in the bidding that we are going to pursue here?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hand, almost everything here is on the MinTech or WSCA, Western States Computer. It's basically a Western consortium of states that actually is managed by MINIT for 18 states in the western part of the United States. So we use those two contracts for our pricing.
And so, Mr. Chair and Mr. Greenwald, so we would not be then doing any competitive bidding on these pieces of equipment?
No competitive bidding beyond what the state has already done. Now, with a CRM, that is a negotiated price that we are working with them. We did look at five different companies and identified this is the company of choice.
And Mr. Chair, and I'm not talking specifically about the CRM, but for all the, you're talking about computers and printers and whatever, why wouldn't we want to have that opportunity to see what the market is, rather than just take the price off of the system?
It has been the practice that we've had of utilizing the state's bid prices for many years, and we have just continued to do that rather than go through the process. I'm not sure if we get better pricing or not. The state has a very large volume of goods which they purchase. And we certainly cannot match their volume of purchasing. So whether we could wheel and deal. I'm not sure, although when you do bid pricing, you don't wheel and deal anyway. You take their given prices. We have simply utilized what the state has done on their bids.
Well, Mr. Greenwald, and wasn't there a competitive bid process on the part of that consortium to arrive at the vendors?
Correct. Those are all bid prices, but they're bid by the state of Minnesota.
By a larger group.
Right. Minnesota IT, does the bidding on that through Department of Administration Materials Management Division.
Senator Pappas.
Right. We also could use the Midwest Higher Education Compact, which also is another compact that does that large purchasing opportunities for government. I did have a question for Ms. Jacobs. So what is CRM going to do for us? You mentioned the electronic newsletter, but you know, why do we want this? What's it going to do?
Mm-hmm. Staff did a review of the way we get information from constituents, and it's changed quite a bit in the past few years. It's mainly electronic. We don't get a lot of snail mail anymore, and we get very, very large numbers of email. And so one of the biggest features from the staff perspective is being able to triage email as it comes in. So being able to sort it and respond, that's a bit of an issue right now for staff. There's some offices that it's a very long time, if at all, sometimes to answer for really high volume issues such as the stadium, for instance. I know in our office we were really busy with that one. Additionally, it will, as Senator Han asked about, allow us to do email newsletters and HTML, which is something that's pretty standard out there in the rest of the world. We'll be able to, there's a feature for tracking workflow, which would be like constituent cases. Sometimes people will call and they'll have very in-depth issues that you need to track from start to finish. It can help facilitate that piece. It will allow for differentiated secured access. So, for instance, if you have an intern that you would like to work on constituent cases, you want them to assist, they can have secured access. Right now, that's actually kind of a problem. We don't have a very good way for interns, for instance, to assist with constituent email. For instance, they don't have their own login, so we have to find really elaborate workarounds for them to assist with that, or you give them a staff login, which is not a very good option. Are those some of the things you're
wondering
about?
Yeah, I didn't quite understand this as a way of managing our email.
Yep, it's all communication. So you would be able to manually input information about phone calls and such. So combining multiple systems that we already have, but it'll be centralized in one place.
Chairman,
Senator Metzen,
do we have a breakdown of like the one-time money? And the continuing fees and contractual things going forward. And at the 627 is it's one time now, but there'll be a lot of other continuing dollars. Is that correct? And what would the breakdown be?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Metzen, yes. As you can see, there's sort of the little double cross on there. Those are the items that would have some or would be ongoing costs. The first couple of the copies are maintenance, but that would be probably a matter of several hundred dollars a year on that. The primary item, which would be of an ongoing basis, is the 99,000, which is an annual price, plus the 6,900, which is an estimate on time and material for support. I mean, if we know how to use the system well and have well-trained people, that would be much less. That is their estimate of time and material for that. So The primary chunk on here that is an ongoing basis, because most of it is a direct purchase, would be the $99,000.
So, Mr. Chairman, the ongoing would be about $150,000, $160,000 additional each?
Max, probably
going forward.
Probably less than that.
Thank you.
Then Mr. Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Greenwald, just wanted to go back to this competitive bid question. Is there any problem or... is there a cost to doing a competitive bid? Why wouldn't we want to just do that and make sure the public has got transparency on what we're spending money on and knows that we've got the best price? And why wouldn't we just put it out for bid? And if the stuff off the minute system is the best, then so be it. But why wouldn't we want to do that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hand, we can certainly do it if that's the way the Committee on Rules Administration wishes us to. They've been satisfied with the Minute and the WSCA contracts in the past. We have on occasion, for instance, when we did the roll call system, some other unique systems, we do competitive bidding. But for commodity items like our computers, we have simply chosen not to. We certainly can do that. I don't know what the difference would be in the results. It could be better, could be not better. I don't know.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess I would just suggest that we keep that option in front of us and maybe just try it out and see if there is a significant difference between what we're getting as the consortium price versus...
You're suggesting for the items on here?
Yes.
We may be able to do that. That's probably a three-week delay. We'll probably get equipment installed sometime in the middle of the session then.
Senator Gazelle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to that point... Senator Saxog just said that some of the things they were looking at were recently updated, and I'm not so sure if we're into the, I think it's Minute, if that's the contract, does that allow us to buy the most recent technology, or are we locked into a little bit older technology?
The Minute contract for the desktops was released December 6th. The Minute contract for the laptops is to be released on the 16th, so those are the latest. They do have the later, not the versions that we looked at, but the later versions, yes.
Senator Pappas.
I'm not as familiar with these other two bulk purchasing entities, but both Senator Fischbach and I have served on the Midwest Higher Education Compact Commission board, and they do really negotiate deep discounts for the government units that choose to buy through them. So it typically is a very good deal for us.
Any other questions? Mr. Greenwald, anything further on the, or Senator Saxog, anything further on the spreadsheet?
I don't think so, Mr. Greenwald. Mr. Chair, I think we're satisfied that we've been able to express all that we've done in the way of our recommendations. So.
Mr. Chair, I would, as I mentioned when I first started talking, these, again, have some variances on them depending on what we finally come up with quantities. They're probably very close, but they're not exact figures, and the quantities will change them slightly, but I don't think it will be very much.
So members, these numbers on the sheet are going to move around, so there's no point in actually adopting the spreadsheet, but... would again want to thank the working group for all the work they put into this, acknowledge receipt of the spreadsheet along with the accompanied report recommendations, and think without objection enter the spreadsheet into the be attached to the minutes. That's
Chairman.
Okay. Senator Metzen.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that all four of those IT working group members from the Senate are here this afternoon, and I think that's good to see that they're all interested enough to show up, with, including you, Senator Sieben.
Well, yeah, that's I hope it goes without being said, but Senator Osmek and Senator Nelson, thank you for your participation, all the hours that you put into getting us to this point. And all of the staff, too, most of whom are not here today, for all the effort that they put into getting our IT systems upgraded, badly needed.
Thank you for
all the work. That concludes our discussion on the IT Working Group recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the Rules Committee.
The second thing on our agenda is the litigation issue, and there is a most recent and final invoice here from the Larkin Hoffman firm that counsel, our last one.
That's correct.
Counsel indicates this is the final invoice in the matter related to the suit from a former Senate staffer against the Senate, and I guess I just would ask him if he's going to scrub this bill if he finds it to be accurate.
Mr. Chairman and members, I have reviewed the bill in detail, and the charges all appear reasonable and necessary to me.
Any questions? Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was kind of hoping Senator Cohen was going to be here today because he had raised some question at the last Rules Committee meeting that he wanted to make sure that when we finally conclude this matter, that it is, in fact, concluded. And I think that Senator Cohen was correct in raising those issues. So I do have a couple of questions on the release. I'm going to direct my question to Mr. Bodern, but just assuming he is the correct person on the committee to ask. I've had a chance to read the release, but only it was delivered to me at the beginning of the committee hearing today, so it isn't something that I've studied, but I have read through it. My question, Mr. Bodern, is this. On page 2, paragraph 3, we've got the full satisfaction of alleged damages paragraph. And until I read the release, I was unaware of the fact that there is apparently pending an EEOC charge involving Mr. Broadcorp. And there apparently is not a pending one, or at least I'm reading it, that there isn't a pending one with the Minnesota Department of Human Rights. And I find that whereas on paragraph 4 there is an indemnification and hold harmless clause, there isn't such a clause in paragraph 3, i.e., hold harmless and indemnification. When I read that paragraph in conjunction with paragraph 7 on page 3, this settlement agreement is specifically for all known and unknown claims or asserted and unasserted claims, I mean, but only through the date of this agreement. So my concern is that if this agreement is only, the settlement is only for those asserted and unasserted claims through the date of this agreement, and there is still the specter of the EEOC claim and Department of Human Rights claim, would it not be appropriate to protect ourselves, i.e. the Senate, with a hold harmless and indemnification clause in paragraph 3 of this agreement?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Newman, that is a lengthy question, and I don't know that I understand it in complete detail. What I can tell you is this document was reviewed very carefully with respect to all of the items and the claims that are being released. I would also draw your attention to paragraph 6. And members, I apologize. Senator Newman has separately requested a copy of the settlement agreement, which is not in your packets today. I can take the time to answer a few of the questions. Perhaps our time would be better spent, Senator Newman, discussing this separately, and I can go into a lot of this in more detail with you. I can only assure you that several attorneys at the Larkin Hoffman firm, far more experienced than I am in dealing with releases and settlements of this nature, reviewed those components carefully and were satisfied with them. I don't think I can say it to you somewhat like this. The Senate basically drafted this agreement.
Mr. Chairman, the copy that I have is signed by the plaintiff but not on behalf of the Senate. I am assuming that
The document has not been fully executed, and the $30,000 has not yet been paid. Am I correct on that?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Newman, several steps have been taken. The document is executed, has been executed by the majority leader and the minority leader. The copy I gave you is verbatim, and the text, I didn't have the signed copy with me. The payment is in process, and the steps necessary under the agreement to commence to release the payment have been taken. I think plans are underway. The agreement refers to 10 business days, and that would expire the following week, I believe, on Tuesday. So those steps are in place. Stipulation of dismissal has been entered, and an order for dismissal has also been entered by the court.
So the
short answer is it's fully executed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bodder. If the document is fully executed, I don't know where else to go with it other than the concerns that I have raised. And maybe, Mr. Bodder, and agree, I read this very quickly, I should say. But maybe we could visit a little bit, Mr. Bodder.
Mr. Chairman,
if it's fully executed, I don't know where else to go with this issue.
Any other discussion on the invoice?
I'll move the payment.
Senator Metzen moves Chairman. The payment of $77,578.21. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no. Third item on our agenda today, members, we've received quite a bit of feedback from members of the Senate that the current reimbursement for the housing allowance is inadequate to cover costs incurred. So I had Senate Fiscal get for me a list of kind of is that true, because I was hearing from individuals, and it turns out over half of the members are actually taking money out of their pocket to cover their costs of their lease agreement, utilities, and parking. So what we have in front of us is a resolution to increase the housing allowance up to from the current $1,200 where it's been since 2007, I believe, up to $1,500 per month. I just want to be clear, that doesn't mean everybody's going to get $1,500 a month. You'll actually have to incur and invoice those costs in order to receive the new allowed amount. The second thing on here, the communication expense, currently $125 a month. That's what it was when I came to the Senate in 2003. It has not changed. And I believe it's been that, I mean, back to 99, it's been constant at $125. So the resolution also provides for an increase in the telecommunications expense up to, again, has to be invoiced up to $200 per month.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Limmer.
Some of the communication expenses do not have to be invoiced at the current level. Is that correct?
Maybe we'll have Ms. Lunzer explain how fiscal handles it. I think I might have spoke wrong. To be not subject to taxes under the IRS, they have to be invoiced. Mm-hmm. If you want them tax exempt.
I see.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, you are correct, Senator Limmer, yes. Right now we have most of our members, 61 of them, choose to take communications. Six of our members do not. There's only two that choose not to invoice, to put the invoice with the form that we have. So it is
choose
taxed.
Not to or two?
They only two choose to take to use the invoice
use
system.
The invoices, yeah.
Otherwise it is taxed. It's run with our per diem on the 15th of the month.
So, Mr. Chair, the new dollar amount for expenses, it would be handled in the same manner as it is now. The only thing is
that
we would just be changing the maximum allowable reimbursement.
Mr. Chair, dollar. Senator Limmer, that is correct.
All right.
Senator Stump.
Mr. Chairman, and maybe refresh my memory in terms of the lodging. Is the most of the places where we stay has cost for parking, and then now more recently, a lot of the places are putting the cost for utilities apart from the monthly lodging. So do those expenses, can they be counted under the lodging?
I wonder how do we handle that? How do we handle expenses in addition to your lease agreement?
Senator Bach, Mr. Chair, Senator Stump, we look at it like right now being at $1,200 maximum. If you had an $1,100 lease, you'd have $100 you could use for utilities.
And that practice would continue the same. So some of the reimbursement would actually be your monthly lease amount. Some would be for utilities or parking associated with your lease. Any other questions? I did check, members, just so everybody knows, I checked with, or had our office check with, all of the larger apartment buildings downtown. And I think probably 201, there, by the time you add utilities in, and some include utilities and some don't, some include parking, some don't, I think to a building we found that they're all over $1,200 right now, and it appears like rents are only going to go up in the marketplace. So. Senator Sieben, Senator Sieben moves the 4-1 resolution. Any other discussion? Not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion prevails. Members, that concludes the business of the Rules Committee today. Those of you that are on the subcommittee on committees, please stick around. The Rules Committee is adjourned. Members.